Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Welcome to another half hour of conversation. I'm Doug Steffen with Rich McFadden, looking into a lot of the things that are important, hopefully interesting things about people in our world, things that are cogently necessary to understand. And maybe I'll put these two together. Somebody challenged me, Richie, a little while ago.
Yeah.
As I explained.
Kind of a challenge, like a duel?
Well...
Cross side, 20 paces, boom.
40 paces, oh God. Now, this was a statement that I've made a couple of times on the air in the different hours of the program about how people select who they're voting for. And I think this is, upon reflection, what I said was that there are many uneducated voters in our country. And there are a lot of people who think that we ought not to allow them to vote.
No.
I'm not sure
people have rights too.
Yeah, that I agree. Yeah, for that reason, I'm not sure I go along with the premise only that people educated should be voting. Then there's the landowner thing. All right, so all of that aside, how do you decide, really and truly? The people who listen to this program are pretty much educated. People who are listening to the conversations on talk programs in general, yeah, read newspapers, watch the news.
They're informed and they want to be informed.
Right. But there are a lot of people who don't. And so those people, if they even know that the election is November 5th, whatever year it is, then they go into the polling place and they look at all of the things there. Well, do I know who that is? And so somebody who has a recognizable name,
right, exactly,
like Mrs. Clinton and Donald Trump. Okay, so most everybody's going to know who Donald Trump is. Most everybody's going to know who Hillary Clinton is. So you choose from those. But then there are people who deserve our consideration. And that was the challenge that came through from this fellow named Don, who said, why don't you make it your business to talk more about the people that you like? Not even suggesting that I talk about the people that I don't like to give equal time to everybody, because I don't have to give equal time to anybody unless they were actually on the air. And then I'd certainly be eager to have everybody come on, like NBC now has to give equal time to people who want to get the same treatment that Donald Trump did on Saturday Night Live. Okay, that's swell. So I've picked to spend a couple of minutes on somebody that we don't know a whole lot about. I've picked Carly Fiorina, because in my mind, she has a good message. She's doing a good job of presenting it. But who the heck knew who she was before this process began? And you can even say, who the heck knows who she is now, unless you're listening to programs that are about these sorts of things or you're reading about her.
She's kind of been on the scene for a while.
Yeah, but she's not a household
politically
name.
Politically and with the HP stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
she's not a household,
name. No. Okay, so here's a little bit of information about her and her family. For example, her father, his name is Joseph Sneed. He was a top professor at Harvard, Yale, and Cornell. So got a pretty good resume. He taught also in Africa and in London. And as he traveled, his family went with him. And his daughter was one of the people in the family that went, Kara. She was, by the time she was in middle school, quite a good pianist, as turns out. By the way, her real name is Carleton, C-A-R-L-E-T-O-N. But she changed that for obvious reasons because it sounds kind of masculine. Doesn't it? Did you know her name was Carlton? Her real name was Carlton.
No.
Okay. So her real name is Carlton, but she's known as Carly. And she has, she actually started her career, if you didn't know this, at Hewlett-Packard as a secretary. Did you know that?
I did know that.
You did know that.
Yep.
Okay. So that's good. She was a secretary, pianist, did well in school, when you think about going from the reception desk to the boardroom, that's pretty cool. So what does that tell you about her? It tells you that she has the ability, that she has the desire, that she's had the education. Certainly her father, with that kind of a resume, made sure his children got good educations. Her father was a Republican. He was one of the most esteemed conservative law professors. Not only did he teach at Harvard, Yale, Cornell, but he also was the dean of the Duke Law School. And President Nixon appointed him as deputy attorney general. And then he spent the rest of his life as a federal judge. He has been very involved in lots of different cases like the three strikes law. Anyway, so she's got a good family pedigree. She has a worldly experience. And she's, I believe, one of the proponents. I don't believe, I know she's an anti-establishment person. That's why I'm paying attention to her. If she sounded just like Rubio and Cruz and Huckabee and most of those other phonies that are running, and that's, in my opinion, that's what they are. They're a big bunch of phonies. All they care about is themselves. They say they want to make the country better. Bunk 'em. That's what Obama said. To a point. Well, never mind. I don't want to go backwards. They want to stay in the now and look ahead. So what I was trying to do here for 3 or 4 minutes is just talk about somebody. This guy got me to thinking, all right, let's find out a little bit more about a few of these candidates so that they are more than just a household name, at least among the people who might be listening to me at this moment in time. There are usually anywhere from 250,000 to 400,000 people in what they call the average quarter hour, and 3-4 million people a week that might pick up a tidbit of one of the radio programs that I do. Okay, so if that's the case, and I've influenced a couple of 100,000 people here with this conversation about her. She wrote a book, by the way, called Tough Choices. Did you know that?
I didn't.
In the book, she writes about herself as a youngster. She was very insecure because she, in very frank terms, talks about spending her time trying to please her father. Her father came from a prominent Texas family. He had a congenital problem with his neck. And it sort of reminds me of my old friend Gene Burns, who died a few years ago. Great talk radio host. Had the same sort of problem with his neck. And so it affects your outlook on life to a certain extent. When you don't feel good, you're constantly in pain. I guess that affects how you look at life to a point. She said her father was a true intellectual, unsympathetic to anybody who was insecure or had any self-doubts. So he pounded into her that you better make something of yourself. And if you have any doubts, you better figure out how to lose them. So that's what gave her the ability.
She's very confident.
To stand up and say, this is what I believe. This is what gives somebody who is a secretary the confidence to move up to become the chief of Hewlett-Packard. Anyway, there are a number of things that come out in some of these books that you can read about her, or you can certainly Google her and find out. But I wanted to point out that it is with a bit of enthusiasm that I call your attention to her, because I think she's one of the three or four people that are running that actually have some value and merit. That's my opinion.
I was talking to a friend of mine. She works for HP.
Okay.
And so I said, well, you know, what's the hubbub around the halls on Carly Fiorina at HP? And she's like,
she wasn't
like,
the most popular person that ever ran the company.
She says, I wasn't there. I came right after she left. So she goes, but not one of the most popular leaders that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. She says, but that said, our bread and butter is PCs and printers.
Uh-huh.
And if it weren't for her, we wouldn't be in that business.
Right.
So whether they like her or not, it's our bread and butter what she did.
She made the right decision. Didn't always, according to some. And I think that's the hard part of leading. Sometimes you just got to, do what you think is
right.
Sometimes
you're not popular.
And you're not going to make popular decisions. It works that way.
By the way, Kenneth Starr?
Yeah.
President of Baylor University now.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, a lot of those people go to those they go to those kind of jobs afterwards. So anyway, she wanted the final thing that I read that I found interesting here. I wanted to desperately fit in. She learned how to become a hostess from her mother. Her friends remember getting together to do physics experiments at school that turned into parties with the radio playing, dancing in her small apartment. So she was somebody who wasn't afraid of people or things. And she has a very strong core of friends. One staple at her parties was Max Turner, recalled her fondly as an extrovert who fit easily into any social setting and belonged to the more affluent group. But her father wasn't of money necessarily, but he, you know, there's a lot of times people who have political influence, they get into positions where they seem to have money. And I find that offensive. I don't like using that as an arbiter as to whether or not I'm going to like somebody or whether they're going to do well in politics or whatever it is. I just find that annoying, frankly. So anyway, I just thought you might like to know. Some of her friends say she was absolutely gorgeous when she was younger. Her musical abilities were great. She could play a baby grand better than anybody else. And she did very well in school, always did well in school. I was trying to find a little bit about her marriage, and I didn't find. She was married to some guy in 1977, got divorced from him in 1984.
Let me see if I can.
I don't know that much more. Maybe it's not important. He did say something. She brought her business school entrance exam study guides on a trip they took to Italy. So instead of enjoying the trip across Italy, she was busy studying for her next move in school.
Spouses: Todd Bartlam, 1977 to 84.
Right.
Frank Fiorina, 1985 to present. Yeah. Has two stepdaughters.
Yeah. Okay. So a little more about Carly Fiorina. Hopefully that was instructive for you. 15 before the hour, 45 past the hour. Some television news coming up in a moment here on Good Day.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Would you like to feel more in control in spite of the uncertainty we face today? You can by seeing your life in 3D.
The first D is for discovery. It starts with you. What do you want your life to look like? What's most important to you? What are your strengths?
The second D is for design. Share your vision and values with the people closest to you. Find out what they expect of you at home and work. Look for common ground.
The third D is for develop. Start by testing an idea. See if it brings you closer to the life you really want. If it does, keep doing it. If not, try something else.
Keep testing until you're living life on your own terms. That's big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Today on App Check, Gate Guru is a free day of travel app providing airport security wait times and locations of airport food. Needs a You Are Here feature. Gate Guru. It's a hit.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
His gold shoes were as unforgettable as his four Olympic gold medals. He made history at the 96 Games by winning both the 200 and 400 meter races.
Michael Johnson is in front. They're in the home straightaway. He's got it. World record Superman flies again.
So where is Michael Johnson now? Michael's training center in Dallas is an official training partner of the Cowboys, Stars, and FC Dallas. He's a motivational speaker, and he wrote a book called Gold Rush. In 2010, Michael was a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice. And who can forget the commercials he did for Nike?
I was running in my Arizona Spiridons and heard this little girl say, "Mommy, why is that man all blurry? Why can't people see the real me?"
Because you're just too dang fast, Mike. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So who's more critical, men or women? And do they always stay that way? Well, here's the biological science of it. men tend to be more critical thinkers. They stick to the facts, just the facts, only the facts. On the other hand, women more freely express their emotions and concerns. That is, until they start to age. Then there's a switch. As men age, they become less analytical, less critical, and more emotional. That's why it's not unusual to see older men freely showing their emotions. As emotional women age, guess what? They become more critical. It's only around age 45 that both men and women are more alike in their thinking and emotional styles than at any other time in their life. What's the cheap psych trick? What goes round comes round. As you grow older, you may be the object of what you criticize. Let me know what you think. Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing.
All right, television news. Jen's not here, so it's up to me and Richie to bring you up to date at 48 after the hour as to what's on tonight and this weekend, maybe some of the ancillary sidebar stories. I think the news media today, doing their penetrating analysis, Richie, of what's going on, are going to be really stuffing our heads with pictures of the Christmas decorations and the Christmas tree at the White House. All right, those of you who are
been all over the morning TV already. The Christmas tree from Alaska is here. It's 3,052 feet tall. It's got 4 million needles on it. And the White House dog has peed on it three times.
Hooray! All right, so that's that. I did not see a story about a Christmas tree in China today. Is that going to happen, do you think, Christmas tree?
What do they
China?
Celebrate in China?
They celebrate the fact that we in America are buying a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now. That's what they're celebrating. NBCU. Excuse me?
What?
NBCU yourself. There's a new universal digital channel called NBC Universal, with a new streaming comedy channel called CISO. You know about that? Streaming channel for comedy that will not have ads. CISO plans to offer original series, movies, classic stand-ups. It's like the soft opening of a restaurant, said the vice president of NBC. We think our stuff can help you laugh more and better. We want you to see so for yourself. Get it? S-E-E-S-O. See so for yourself, and is being offered free by NBC Universal. What do you do with that? It sounds interesting. I like it's, but you know what? They've tried this on radio, these comedy channels, and they don't work because people don't want a steady diet of it. But in this circumstance,
how much of it
download,
can you watch?
What comedy stuff?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes of stand-up
stuff.
Most.
Yeah,
you're not going to watch it for 4 hours.
No, not at all. No, but maybe streaming like a video podcast might be a value here. So there's a new idea from NBC. 51 after on Good Day.